Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report limitations apply.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. This is not the Raptors Knicks Reaction Podcast. I'm going to record that in a second. But first, the Raptors had the trade deadline coming past. And lo and behold, the Raptors made a trade. I wasn't expecting the Raptors to make a trade, but they did make a very minor, yet very major trade. And here to discuss it is G League expert and Mississauga resident, Mississauga authority, really. It's like the Peel Police and then you. Yeah. So, Harsh. Bruno's gone.
Buddy, flags are flying at half mast at the Basketball Without Borders head office.
Yo, listen. Honestly, Masai's happy, but sad at the same time.
Yo, they gotta stop doing the "it's gonna be a good one" commercial.
I don't know, man. They're still showing that Andrea Cabagnani commercial. NBA TV Canada has budget to make a commercial every 5 years, and it's always about a bad prospect.
Oh, man. That, like, the Hito commercial, the Hito pizza commercial is about to make a comeback.
Yo, definitely. Definitely. They're probably still showing the Mario Carroll Aces commercial.
What an era, man. Mississauga is mourning our loss today.
That's right. Let's start with the career highlights of Bruno, all right? He was and will always be a G League champion.
Always?
Always. All right. Now, granted, game one of that three-game series win over the Rio Grande Vipers, Pascal Siakam had to, like, pull him aside one game and tell him to stop pouting because it's the finals and, like, just play.
Yep.
That was a real issue, but he did drop 31 points in the clinching elimination game. Pretty much one game to win it all. Bruno Caboclo comes up with 31 points. And he delivers the Raptors franchise a title. Now, granted, it's a G League title, but it's a title. It's a ring. Do you have a ring? Harsh, did you get one?
Are you asking me?
Yeah, did you get one? Did everybody in Mississauga get one?
They actually made rings for everyone in Mississauga, yes.
Okay, good. I was hoping it was like one of those free Chinese newspapers you could pick up outside of like Mississauga Chinatown. Like everyone can get one.
Yeah, for like a week straight, you could just pick them up outside of a box at the Square One parking lot outside the Holt Renfrew of all places.
Yeah, that's right. It's honestly a fancy spot. It's a fancy spot. But yeah, Bruno's gone, man. We traded him for Malachi Richardson.
It's such a weird trade because, I mean, obviously people were talking about this, but like for a trade that's ultimately super inconsequential, it was like hard hitting, man.
Yes. I think, okay, look, the biggest thing with Bruno is that like he provided us with great content throughout. Like, you know what I mean? Like when Nana DiColo got traded to the Raptors, there wasn't a reaction podcast. There wasn't any reaction podcast at the time because there wasn't enough interest to do that, but nevertheless, you know what I mean? Like, a lot of no-name players have come through, even bigger name players have come through, but Bruno is like a singular name meme that has meant a lot to the Raptors and Raptors fans. You know what I mean? And it does kind of hurt watching him go.
Yeah, I mean, there's always been like that chance that he turns out to be something. Like everybody, like if you look at Blake's mailbags and stuff, like everyone is always asking about, hey man, like is there any update on Bruno? Like what's Bruno up to?
Yeah.
Like I bet you like for like 2 years straight when Blake was writing like updates about the Raptors 905, the main thing people were checking in is like, yo, is Bruno like actually improved? Like what's his progress like? Because just in terms of the story itself, like how many stories like Bruno even come around? Like a guy that literally, like maybe five people had heard of, like in the Raptors fan base when he got drafted. Like, is that a stretch? Like, that five people have heard of him?
I don't even think five people have heard of him.
All
right.
Like, maybe it's like five random guys who are Raptors fans and also like in tune with Brazil basketball or something. Shout out to Marcelo Menezes.
I was gonna say Marcelo Menezes was the only guy that knew
and
about
Raptors
Bruno.
Mil Grau.
Shouts to Raptors Milgra. I discovered him this summer when Bruno got kicked off the Brazilian team because he pouted.
Yeah, but you know what I mean? Like think about it, like in this day and age, no one to have any idea who this man is.
Okay, well, here's the thing, right? When Bruno was drafted, we saw, like, on first off, one of the five people that knew who Bruno was outside of his family was Fran Fischilla, and he set the tone, he set the stage. I think a lot of Raptors fans were just upset with what he said, but it was more that he was saying upsetting things rather than those things weren't true. You know what I mean? It wasn't slanderous. It wasn't anything like that. Bruno was just, you know, super raw. Like, there was, like, a grainy highlight footage you saw from, like, a random gym in São Paulo. And, you know, Bruno was playing, like, averaging, like, 5 points a game. He, like, won, like, MVP of, like Basketball Without Borders. And, like, Masai was down there to watch it in person, apparently.
Yo, but, like, there was, like, all those stories about, like, you know, like, after they draft him, there's, like, these stories about how the Raptors had to do some, like, shady shit to, like, watch him in, like, a gym in Houston or some shit. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
It was, like, because they couldn't get him up here or something like that. Like, they had to find roundabout ways to even talk to him or see him again or whatever. It was, like, a love story from, like, the 1950s.
Okay, look. Before that, actually, can we be honest about something? Well, what Masai really wanted to do was get Giannis on the Raptors. Okay?
Yeah.
Masai was, like, was plotting that for a while. All right? He was plotting that for a while. Let's just, I mean, like, it came out recently that Masai was there to help Giannis and his family obtain, you know, I don't know what it is, visas to Greece when they immigrated to Nigeria from Nigeria. Like, Masai really wanted Giannis, you know, like, he obviously was just helping him because he's a great guy, but also he really wanted Giannis. And when Giannis slipped through the cracks, and because the Raptors didn't have a first round pick because that pick had already been traded for Kyle Lowry, which, you know, retrospect, you know, not so bad, but Masai was determined, and he entered that draft and approached it with, who can I get that's physically most like Giannis? And that's how Bruno was there. He saw Bruno, he's like, man, you could cosplay for Giannis, and we're all good.
Yo, and then, like, remember when the measurements came out that he's even longer than Giannis?
Exactly, bro.
And everyone's like, bro, this is it. This is the one. It's going to be a good one.
It's going to be a good one. There's that famous wingspan picture of, like, Michael Jordan, like, holding his arms up, palming basketballs. Yeah, yeah. And then there's, like, one behind him with Giannis, and then there's one behind him with Bruno.
Oh, man.
Anyway, so Raptors got Bruno. No one knew who he was. Like, you know, I was working with Blake at the Score in 2014 when he got drafted, and we had this whole, like, setup where, you know, each time a pick was announced, we would, like, you know, package the story, write it up, and then send an alert, whatever. And the thing is, Blake had worked for, like, a month straight watching all kinds of, like, Draft Express videos, like, looking at all these, like, draft charts and everything, and he came up with, like, 100 players that he wrote up, and Bruno somehow wasn't one of them. Like, Bruno was the only player in the draft that Blake didn't anticipate to be drafted, based on his research. And, of course, it had to be the Raptors, and I remember writing that story. There was obviously no picture of Bruno in any database, so I had to just get a stock image of the Raptor mascot banging a drum. Like everybody else in that, like, Jabari Parker had a picture of him from Duke or whatever, and, like, you know, Jahlil Okafor had a picture of whatever, right? I don't think Okafor was that same draft. Wiggins, whatever, right? Like, with Kansas. And then Bruno is just a picture of a mascot banging a drum because there's nothing else for this man. You can't even find grainy YouTube video footage of this dude. And so we get that introduction. And then the next thing we see of Bruno is CJ Fair dunking on him in Summer League. And Bruno going to the bench.
It started with, do you remember when they released, like, a video of him, like, stepping foot in Toronto for the first time?
Oh, was this an open gym moment?
I don't think it was open gym. I think they just, like, dropped a video on the Raptors YouTube channel of, like, him coming in for the first time. And, like, he, like, after they did, like, the media session where obviously he can't speak any English or whatever.
Yeah.
He's like, he was taking a few jump shots. Like, he just had, like, a practice session where reporters could see him and stuff. And it was just, like, obviously his jump shot looks really nice, and you see how long he is, and I don't know, it's natural, right? It's part of fandom. Like, you talk yourself into it, buy into the hope of it. So that happens, and it's all just super endearing, right? Because you're seeing this kid who knows so little about basketball, but like, you can see the raw tools there, like the super raw tools. Like, you're just like, he's long, he can shoot. Like, there's something here. Like,
And entirely hypothetical, but you know.
Yeah, it's an entire hypothetical, but you're still talking yourself into it, and just the whole package is so endearing, right? Because you're like, this guy came out of nowhere. Like, we want him to succeed. Mm-hmm. So. And then it was Summer League where we first got to see him.
Yeah, it was rough. I mean, it was pretty clear at first. At first, it was cute. It was like, all right, look, he doesn't really know how to play basketball, but like, he's got the raw tools, right? It wasn't great when CJ Fair dunked on him and then he cried. Like, whatever, man. It's not really about the crying. It's just like, how are you getting dunked on by CJ Fair?
Do you remember how they had a translator on that squad for him? Like,
of course.
Scott Machado or whatever.
Oh, that's right. Scott Machado. Wow.
They had Scott Machado, who's like this Brazilian-American player. Mm-hmm. He was straight up on that squad just to like,
he was way better than Bruno.
Oh.
This was way better.
Dude, Hassan Whiteside was on that summer league
that's
squad.
That's correct. That's correct. And then we dropped him. And then people got so mad that we got rid of Hassan Whiteside. Yeah.
Bebe came the next year, I think. I'm not sure, though.
No. Bebe came in the same year.
Okay, yeah. So we got, stacked that squad with translators.
Oh, yeah, easily. We got Marcelo Menezes came over, too.
Oh, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's how we ended up with Bruno. And, of course, like, we don't see anything, whatever. Like, everything is all mystery, whatever. But we knew it was a long-term project. As much as we didn't like the fact that, like, Fischella said what he said, like, it was pretty true, right? But we did get, like, the cult of Bruno didn't really happen until that Bucks game, where he makes his NBA debut, he has 8 points in about a quarter, and it's, like, a magical top 10 moment in Raptors history in terms of just... the sheer euphoria that was in the building that night. I mean, the Raptors had gotten off to a good start. Like, they were, like, I think top of the East at that point. It was only, like, 2 weeks in, or maybe 3 weeks in, and the Raptors usually play the Bucks around that time. We were blowing out the Bucks. It was nuts. We were just destroying the Bucks in every aspect. Like, Lou Williams had hit, like, 2 buzzer beaters to end, you know, his little ISO dance to end the quarters, and he hit, like, 2 of those, and they got fouled on another 3, so he got 9 free points. Like, Gravis Vasquez dunked in that game. Landry Fields had a putback dunk off a missed free throw when he was standing outside of the, like, 3-point arc. Like, crazy. Terrence Ross crossed the shit out of Giannis and pulled up on his face. Like, crazy shit was happening. But, Bruno comes in. It's crazy. The crowd is chanting his name immediately. You know, he has that alley-oop from Lou Williams, who throws it from half court. That gets the crowd, like, absolutely insane. And he hits 2 more threes. He has 8 points. It's like, holy shit, this is Bruno.
It's weird because, like, it's super weird that one of his – that's probably the finest moment that he had in a Raptors uniform. And it happened, like, in his first appearance.
Yeah.
Like, if only we knew back then, like, that was about as good as it was going to get.
Yes, literally, that was about as good as it's gonna get. Bruno ends, so, you know, whatever. You fast forward the whole thing, like, he doesn't really make progress. The Raptors get a G League team because of him, and I guess that's good.
Maybe stagnated the first year because they didn't have a G League team, and, like,
dog, this guy was playing for Fort Wayne and, like, learning, like, taking ESL classes on the side.
Yeah, like, it was just a bad situation. He barely got minutes that year because they didn't stash him because they wanted him to learn, but they didn't have a G League team. Like, it was all bad.
Yo, by the way.
But then they got one.
That's right. And the Raptors have used the G League team to incredible success. I mean, when you look at guys like, you know, Norm, DeLon, Fred, Siakam, Poeltl, even Bebe, like, all these guys have gotten seasoning down in the G League. And whether it was Jesse Mermis or more recently, you know, with Jerry Stackhouse, like, they have used that program to tremendous success. They've won a title with it. They've had the G League Showcase 2 years in a row. Like, that's all good stuff. And it's been great long term for the franchise. For a team as rich as the Raptors, like, you should be able to invest in that stuff. But, you know, having the onus of having Bruno there to sort of, like, justify it, I think does help. So I guess that's something that good that he did. But yeah, for the most part, he did nothing. And so we get to this point now, 4 years later, where he still hasn't shown anything. He's okay at the D League level. But he's not like a star player by any means. And we're talking about a league where, you know, guys like Jonathan Motley, Antonio Blakenly, like all these guys are just like crushing the league. And you have no idea who these guys are. Like, look at Lorenzo Brown, right? Lorenzo Brown down there is like
James Harden.
James Harden with defense. And then he comes up here and he like doesn't take a shot and just has a big head. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not like, it's just different. It's just different. I'm not saying like G League. Yeah, like, you know what I mean? Like, if you're not showing anything at the G League, then that's probably not good for you. But Bruno ends his career with 27 points with the Raptors. 15 rebounds, 6 assists, 5 steals, 3 blocks, 10 turnovers. That's a crazy assist to turnover ratio. And 10 fouls. Shooting 11 of 42 from the field in 113 minutes. Never shot a free throw in his life.
It's not great, man. I mean,
it's not great. You're right. It's not great.
I think nothing is a bigger indicator of like the gulf in quality between the G League and the NBA than the fact that like Bruno legitimately won a G League Finals game, like for the Raptors 905 last year. Like that 31 point game was like he was probably the best player on the floor.
Mm-hmm.
And then when you see him at the NBA level, he still looks like, you know, a fish out of water.
He looks like Bambi.
He looks completely clueless, and it's like obviously he's had a steep learning curve, but like he's a capable player at the G League level, but it's just again the gulf in quality between the NBA and G League is pretty drastic still.
All right.
And you know Blake mentions this all the time. Like he was while his offense and like his shooting has been iffy, like I think he's shooting like low 30s from 3-point range in the G League.
He takes hard shots though,
and he takes a lot of shots from three. And but like Blake always says, like he's probably going to be on the all defense team in the G League. Like he's that good defensively.
What does that mean though? When you say he's that good defensively, but I mean like what do you mean?
G League.
Yeah.
Whereas you watch him here, he looks like he doesn't know where to be. Like it's like our guy Courtney Frazier was saying like 2 years ago that he looks like he doesn't know where to line up on the free throw line.
Yo, I mean look, he's never taken a free throw, so that's where it's at with Bruno, man. That's where it's at with Bruno. All right. Despite the fact that Bruno didn't give us many, like, on-court moments, I think Bruno gave us a lot of off-court moments in terms of just memes. So I'm just going to reel off a couple of highlights. And, you know, if I'm missing something harsh, please chime in. You got Bruno going to Wonderland and, like, shooting, like, Kyle Lowry in the three-point contest.
I think DeMar DeRozan at Wonderland. Yo,
by the way, can we just speak about this? Kyle Lowry, don't go back to the three-point contest, please. Do people remember what happened when Bruno, when Kyle Lowry won in the three-point contest? Last time?
Yo, if Blake hears this, he's going to yell at you.
The man
I had this exact conversation with Blake.
The man shot 6. Uncontested. 30 jumpers.
Yo, he airballed his first one. Come on.
There is one money ball in the first 4 racks, and then the final 5 racks, the 5th rack, is all money ball. All right? The money ball is worth 2. Kyle Lowry, with no defense, had 6. Don't go back in the 3-point shootout.
No, but like honestly, who extended him the invite? Like that's what I want to know.
Honestly, they're probably like, "Look, Kyle. I mean, you're an elite 3-point shooter. Like you're an all-star. You want to come do this?" And Kyle's probably like, "Okay, yeah, I got nothing else to do. This or golf."
Kyle would never say no. Like if you ask Kyle to be in the dunk contest, he'd be like, "Yeah, sure, why not? I'm Kyle Lowry, man. I'm from North Philly. I'll do that shit."
Yo, Kyle Lowry's gonna pull a Darrell Armstrong and do a reverse layup. I've actually never seen Kyle do a reverse layup.
Remember when Fred Jones won the dunk contest on a layup?
I'm so cheesed about that. And then we signed him to the mid-level exception. Yo, Brian Colangelo, what's wrong with you? Yo, stop giving people the mid-level exception. Whichever player you need, you don't need that. Yo, seriously, man. It was a real issue for him. Like, Jason Capono, like Jared Jack, Linus Klaza, like stop signing people to mid-level, man. Fred like Jones.
That $5 million deal is like that's his worst enemy.
Oh man, honestly, listen, I'm all for hustling, like whatever, get a deal, whatever. But sometimes when you're hustling, you really just cheat yourself. You know what I mean? Like Brian, honestly, Brian Clancy took this approach of like only eating McDonald's every single day.
Oh man,
that was his approach. But yeah, you got Bruno at Wonderland.
Yeah, classic moment.
The random Bruno Snapchat where he has a milk mustache.
That's awful. I was looking at it today. Just an awful, awful photo.
Where is that from?
I don't know. It's probably Real GM.
Oh yeah, listen, Real GM, you can find anything down there. I've said bad things about the Real GM Raptors Reddit, but like, or Raptors forum, but honestly, you find a lot of good stuff. Alright.
I'm sure it's a mess today.
Oh, it's definitely a mess. I'm gonna check on it right now. But
they're probably unearthing like crazy memes that we've never seen before today.
Oh man, I wouldn't dig too hard in Bruno. You might unearth other things.
Oh yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
So allegedly. All right. You know what's actually concerning? It was actually a little bit concerning this summer that OG and Anobi seemed to be best friends with Bruno.
I know, you mentioned that. You didn't like it.
It's not I even like it. I'm sure Bruno's a nice guy, but, you know, why?
Yeah, that's just my question. Role models. Like become the third member of that Pascal Siakam Poeltl group, you know?
Yes, for sure. Oh, wow, like, there is a Bruno Caboclo appreciation thread. It has 91 posts already.
Yeah, I'm telling you, the Real GM is lit with this. I told you.
Oh, yo, there's that. Have you seen that GIF of in NBA 2K? I believe this is 2015, where Bruno does a celebration.
No, I haven't seen this.
Okay, I'm gonna send that to you. But Bruno steps up off the bench. The Raptors hit a three. It's 85-59 over the Orlando Magic. Bruno steps up, looks into the camera, does a three, and then like pumps his fist twice. It's the most random celebration GIF you ever see. It's 2K, so it's not real. What else did Bruno do?
The Drake holding his hand.
Oh yeah, yeah, and then Bruno like recoiling.
Yeah, like that became like a big time meme.
Yeah, honestly, it really did. There's a lot of pictures of Bruno just with random people. Yo, shout out to our boy Sasha, by the way, for running into Bruno like earlier, like last week, basically, or 2 weeks ago.
Yeah. Yeah, there's Bruno and the Speedo.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, that's right. This was this past summer, right?
Yeah, it was this summer.
Yeah, Bruno and like a small Speedo. I mean, I think that's a cultural thing, but Bruno was a small Speedo, man.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just a cultural thing. I'm just going to let that one slide.
I saw Bruno outside the Hershey Center after a Raptors 905 game once, and he said what up to me.
Did he go to? Was he on his way to Kennedy's or not?
I didn't tail his car, bro. What
kind of reporter are you, man?
He had a nice Jeep.
Oh wow, man's driving a Jeep.
Yeah, yeah.
In Toronto.
Yeah, man.
I hope it's one of those Jeeps with doors and not the without doors Jeeps.
He was on that first round pick rookie deal money, you know.
That's true. Honestly, like a lot of players have come and gone that on the Raptors that have made less than Bruno. And I'm sure they looked at Bruno at some point and were like, why?
Yo, imagine being in the G League and like...
Yo, yeah, yeah.
Like, Lorenzo Brown is like dropping 30, 10, and 10 every other game.
Yeah.
And he's just Bruno bricking shots and shit.
Yeah. All right, so I'm just going to pull up a list of players, just like big league players that have made less than Bruno, okay? Greg Steensma. Honestly, Greg, you deserve a bit more.
Yeah, that's Wisconsin Jakob Poeltl. I don't even know if he's from Wisconsin, but
he looks like he is.
Yeah.
Anthony Bennett. Actually, Anthony Bennett, you didn't deserve to make more than Bruno. No, you made an adequate salary. Norman Powell, definitely that year in the rookie year of Norman Powell, he made less, and he deserved more. DeLon Wright made less than Bruno. DeLon, you deserve more.
What about Fred?
Fred is definitely there too. I'm going through 15-16 right now. We had someone named Ronald Roberts that we were paying?
Oh, yeah. That was the guy that, the big man. I remember him.
Well, what do you do? Ronald. Oh, that's right. He was like a rebounder guy, right?
You gave him like a 10-day or some shit.
Yeah. He was like a rebounder guy.
Yeah. He was a rebounder. He was an energy big.
Yeah. All right. So, all right. That one's fair. Jason Thompson, we paid Yaya less than.
Yo, that's legit Yaya.
That's Yaya. Don't lie.
Yo, Jason Thompson, wow.
The year
he
after
gave
that.
Gave him his first ever playoff appearance, so
shout out to him. That's true. Did he even play?
Probably.
I got really excited because, like, Jason Thompson hit, like, a couple of jumpers.
Yeah, we were like, this is a solution that we needed at the four spot.
Yeah, we were so desperate for four. This is why I don't complain about Serge. I'm like, I know you're good. I know you're good.
Like we're coming off, like, seasons where we saw Luis Scola play and rookie Pascal Siakam.
Yeah. So. Bruno. Okay, so then Bruno started climbing up the ranks, you know, so he was consistently a low-end earner, but now in 2016-17, last season, he was 11th on the team in salary, ahead of DeLon, ahead of Siakam, ahead of Powell, ahead of Van Vliet, and also ahead of Brady Heslip, who, I mean, whatever, he just got, like, a training camp thing, but...
He got that Canadian bonus.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
He got that Burlington bonus.
I mean, yo, 56K in Burlington is kind of the average... household earner, so like he's good to get some property on Dundas.
Nah, you gotta live in Hamilton at that salary.
Oh man, he's living that hoodie lifestyle. He's staying by McMaster University.
He's
living on Emerson.
Jesus, man.
Shouts to Mac.
Shout out to Jackson Square.
Yo, listen, he's probably going to Jackson Square, though.
Yeah,
he's probably shopping at Jackson Square. That winner's over there, Brady Heslip got the whole collection.
Probably models for them.
Yeah, and then this past, yeah, for sure. And then this past season, or this current season, Bruno is 8th in the NBA, or on the roster, in salary.
8th.
He makes more than OG, more than DeLon, more than Norm, more than Fred, more than Siakam. I forgot that we paid Justin Hamilton $1 million to waive his contract.
Wow.
Alphonso McKinney, he's making more than him. He's making more than KJ McDaniels, who we had.
Oh, God.
So, yeah. And most importantly, he's making more than Malachi Richardson, which is pretty much the whole reason why the Raptors made this trade, was just to cut $1 million off the salary.
Yo, one more thing that's kind of sad about this thing is, like, I feel like over the past 2 years, we kind of just didn't see Bruno much.
Yes. He was straight up only in a suit, and like when he was around, like he didn't really do much. You know what I mean? He wasn't active, and I think that helped like the mystique, right? Like it kind of like for some people that still believed, like
yeah.
you can because you didn't see anything, you could still choose to believe, like whatever you want to believe about him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
That's why people were pestering Blake all the time, like on Twitter.
I'm not going to lie to you, man. Anybody that goes to Mississauga, I ask them how Bruno looks.
Yeah. I've heard all your podcasts, so yeah, I definitely know that. Anytime Vivek or Blake is on, you're like, how's Bruno looking?
Yo, poor Vivek, man.
Yeah. Yo, Vivek needs a new lease on life right now, man.
Yo, he needs a new lease on the Hyundai.
Oh, my God.
Nah. Yeah. Bruno's gone, man. Okay, so my last question to you is, do you regret the Bruno thing? Are you mad about it? Because some people are legit mad about it. You know, they're like, well, you know, Rodney Hood was picked, you know, a couple picks after, and also Rodney Hood went to the Cavs. Actually, you know what? Sidebar. Are you concerned about the Cavs thing at all? Like, does that worry, like, what the Cavs did? Does that throw fear into your heart?
I think it worries me only because of one thing, and that's I think Zach Lowe pointed this out.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Zach Lowe,
yeah.
The God. They don't really have like an offensive system so much as they just have like LeBron kind of is the conductor, right?
Yes.
So in that, they don't need to develop like insane amount of chemistry in that way. Like there's no like new schemes and stuff. I mean, obviously there's some schemes that they have to pick up, but at the end of the day, like so much of their system is dictated by LeBron's brilliance, that there mm-hmm. isn't that much that guys need to do to adapt, mm-hmm. I don't think. I think they're still going to be kind of shitty defensively for a bit anyway. But I'm worried in the sense that I think the chances of the Raptors beating them are less now than they were yesterday. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. I think, I mean, look, the Cavs definitely helped themselves. It's just how much they helped themselves. I agree with Zach on that, but at the same time, like, who else on that team can create offense?
Yeah, no, that's definitely going to be a huge problem. Like straight up their second best creator, like, with like on the ball might be, if it's not George Hill, it's like Jordan Clarkson.
Exactly, and like George Hill doesn't really create offense. He's a 3-and-D point guard, like, you know.
He's off ball. He's an off ball point guard.
Yeah. And he's good for that, and I think he'll help them a lot. He fits a lot better than Isaiah Thomas, but, like, nobody else on that team can create offense, so it's up to LeBron to create everything. And then LeBron can't sit at all. And, like, how much are they gonna, and, like, the thing is, if they still need to, like, actually integrate the players, right? They can't just, like, throw them out there with no practices and stuff, so they gotta practice more. And they famously don't practice at all, pretty much because LeBron is old and he doesn't want to practice. But you kind of have to practice. And it doesn't really work as a practice if LeBron's not there. Cause LeBron's got the ball so much, you gotta work with that.
The thing is, man, you gotta remember, like, over the past 2 years mm-hmm. in the playoffs when they've beat the shit out of us, like.
Oh yeah, it's not even close.
They beat us by like 25 points each time.
Easily, bro. Easily. If they wanted to, they could have crushed us by 50. Easily.
So it's like, you know, like, at best, it's like gonna be like a closer 6-game series. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they still have so many advantages that they can exploit.
I hate that they still have Kyle Korver. I hate that the Hawks gave the Cavs Kyle Korver for nothing.
Dude, Kyle Korver is such a problem on that team.
Bro, listen, the Hawks, all they have done in the last 10 years is be beaten by LeBron, and then they just gave him Kyle Korver. For what? For what? That would be like if the Raptors at the end of this was just like, yo, have DeMar. Just take him.
Yeah.
Just take him for free. We'll take a protective second first round pick that's not going to be anything. We're going to draft like DeAndre Bembry.
Just take him. He's a free agent anyway.
Yo, straight up, just take him, man. Just take him. I honestly hate the Hawks, man. I hate the Hawks. If you're going to tag, that's fine. At least ship Korver to another team.
About them? It's that George Hill can kind of defend well.
Yeah. I mean, look, George Hill's been a waste man all year, but.
No, but he's gonna play. He's gonna start trying now.
He was terrifying in that Pacers series.
Dude, he was locking up Lowry like mm-hmm. nobody's business.
Well, yeah.
So, well, that Lowry does that to himself too. So,
yeah, so. Delly did that.
Well, Isaiah Thomas could have done that.
Yo, come on, man. Come on, man. don't talk to Isaiah Thomas. This man is. I've honestly another sidebar. I have not seen a player take this many L's in a row on such, like the progression in which Isaiah Thomas went from last summer. It was like, he's a hero. He played through such difficult circumstances. He's an MVP candidate. He led the Celtics to the first in the East wins. He had that 53-point game against the Wizards in the playoffs. He got them to the Eastern Conference Finals. Everything was like, wow, look at him. He's going to, you know, like, look at Isaiah Thomas go, whatever. And then from him to, like, get backstabbed, get exposed as someone who talks to Woj. The Isaiah Thomas snitching memes are insane.
Dude, like, he pissed away more money than Patrick Patterson last year.
Yo, it's crazy, man. And then, like, him just, like, like, showing up to camp, like, giving all these quotes, like, yo, we're going to be great. We're going to be great. Like, I'm going to replace Kyrie. Whatever. Like, whatever. All this. Like, I'm mad at Danny Ainge. I'm mad at this. I'm mad at this. I'm like, you know, like, Paul Pierce, whatever. This and all that. And then for him to, like, consistently take L's throughout all of that, that come back from injury, which we didn't even know about. But really, he had a major injury. And he comes back, and he's, like, terrible. Like, he's just so
awful.
Derrick Rose level bad. And for him to take that many L's and then to make all those quotes in the locker room and then to snitch on Kevin Love because Kevin Love sneezed one game. Like.
Yo, and then now, even when he got traded, and then he finally gets. Oh, and then yesterday when LeBron doesn't celebrate.
LeBron just runs right past Isaiah Thomas to chest bump Chetty. Don't call me Carter Rodriguez Osmond.
That's Justin Rowan.
That's straight up Justin Rowan. That's David Savick.
And then he got traded like within 12 hours of that.
And then, yo, he begged. He was like, bro, I don't want to be traded anymore, bro. Please don't trade me, man. I just want to be here. I just want to be where I'm wanted. Immediately gets traded. Like, man.
And then the first quote that comes out is that he's not going to take a bench role. It's like, bruh, yeah. I don't think you understand. You're not calling the shots anymore.
Also, his agent said on the way out, he's like, Isaiah's a ball dominant player and LeBron has the ball all the time. It was never going to work. And it's like, yo, what? Yeah, of course LeBron has all the ball all the time, man. You're out here shooting like 16% from the field. Like, anyway.
You know, it's really crazy that he was fifth in MVP last year and second in the league in scoring.
Yeah, dude, your man scored more than DeMar DeRozan.
Oh, man.
He was right up there with Anthony Davis. Yeah. Now Isaiah Thomas is gone. But lastly, about the 2014 NBA draft, are you upset? Like, some people are really upset. Like, you know what? The Raptors could have drafted Rodney Hood, could have drafted Capella.
I think Capella might be the one that hurts, but
okay.
But like, you can't really get mad in the 20s of that draft. And like, I think like even then, like the thought process was kind of sound, right? Like,
I don't know, the thought process of drafting Bruno was sound, because like their initial plan was to draft Tyler Ennis.
That's bad.
Don't draft the Brampton man.
Yeah. Gary Harris went a pick above.
Yeah, that would have been nice.
Yeah, Gary Harris was really nice. I mean, I'm not really mad at it, man, because I find that like anything past 15 is such a crapshoot in the draft. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, you're going to miss some guys. Like, that's just how shit goes sometimes. Like, you think people aren't kicking themselves about, like, Norman Powell or DeLon Wright right now? Like, you know what I mean? Like, that happens every year. Or OG, right?
Or OG, yeah. The Pacers are looking at, what's his name? TJ Leaf every single game.
Yeah, they're like, bro, what are you saying? Why do you look like you're from Iowa? Like,
why do you look like Fred Hoiberg's son?
Like, it's legit. Please, look a little bit more menacing. But you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah, of course. You can do this retrospective thing with every draft, especially later in the draft.
And the thing is, like, it's not like he was a waste man. Like, think about this. Okay, Bruno went number 20.
Yeah.
Jordan Adams went 22.
That's right.
Wouldn't you rather have the content that came with Bruno?
Okay, you say that, but at the same time, Jordan Adams gave you 101 points. Bruno has... Okay, the only drafted player that has less NBA points in that 2014 draft that actually played, so like not like DeAndre Daniels, who by the way was just awful, or like Xavier Tames, which the Raptors all... I forgot the Raptors drafted Xavier Tames.
What a draft for the Raptors. I think they traded him right away.
Yeah, I guess. But yeah, I mean, the only player that scored less was Thanasis Adenogumbo. Which, by the way, Masai, if you really want him, if you really want a Giannis, why don't you just draft his brother? He was right there. Can't tell me he was more raw than Bruno. But yeah, Bruno's right there. Eddie Tavares, who, by the way, also a Raptors 9-5 legend, more points than Bruno.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, look, it's not a great pick in terms of like production, but look, he was so raw, and again, man, the content was undeniable. And like, I don't know, it's nice to have like storylines outside of like, oh, is X player gonna play well off the bench? Like, that shit gets mundane every year. Like, having this one thing to like offer a different kind of hypothetical altogether was fun, man. Like think about yourself, like,
oh, I got great content out of this.
Would you have cared about the Raptors 905 if it wasn't for Bruno? Like, be honest.
No. This season, the only guy I cared about was Bruno.
Right.
And it like, wasn't even because I was intrigued that he might be good. I was just intrigued because, like, Bruno is somehow very compelling but also completely meaningless at the same time.
Exactly. Yeah. And for some reason, that, like, resonated for the entire freaking fan base.
Yeah. No, so, it's a sad day, man. I'm going to miss Bruno. And also, let's be real. I mean, like, he started off a little bit immature, whatever, but, like, he was, like, 18 years old in a new country. Like, things happen, right? Like, what was Embiid doing? Embiid was out here, like, drinking Shirley Temples, ordering Uber Eats to Sam Hinkie's house, like, nonstop.
Like, right.
You know what
He's
I mean?
He's still, like, doing that.
Oh, still. Obviously, still. Sam Hinkie's just around, all right? Just for people to fap over his legacy.
Yeah.
But you know, Cameron Bairstow had less more points than Bruno?
God.
Roy Devin Marble had... All right, now forget it. Anyway. Samaj Crispin, yo, that guy's bad at basketball.
No, I really like Devin Marble in that draft.
That is a cheese. That's a cheese brand. Okay, Devin Marble is a cheese brand.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, the thing with... I mean, like...
Should we talk about Malachi?
No, he's not going to be... I mean, look, okay, do you want to talk about Malachi? Because I think we should be honest, in fact, say that this is also a very long, long shot. He's not even that young. He's like slightly... He's like 2 months younger than Bruno.
Yeah, he's like he was an old freshman, and he was an old rookie last year, so...
Mm-hmm.
Okay, here's the thing. Okay, so first of all, they made this trade for cap reasons, right?
That's... Yeah. You save $1 million, you can go in the buyout market, you can buy somebody. I don't know. Apparently, they've discussed, you know, Vince Carter, of course. Whether that comes to fruition or not, we'll see. But whatever, right?
I think they definitely made this move with that in mind, with, like, a buyout candidate in mind. Otherwise, why do you make this move? Unless
no, that's why. That's really why.
Like, they're going to sign someone.
Mm-hmm.
Like, otherwise, why would you make this move at all, right? If you don't know that there's somebody that you're interested in, or you're close to someone that you think you have a good shot at signing,
right?
Why would you even bother making this deal, right?
Mm-hmm.
I guess the other thing is Malachi is also locked up at a cheap number next year, so that's like a, you know, roster spot that you're kind of not as worried about.
Cost certainty.
It's like what Blake mentioned. It's like if you use the stretch provision on Bruno's contract.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so it is what it is. Like, Malachi as a player, like, to be honest, like, I mean, I watch college ball, and I never really liked him at Syracuse, but...
Straight up, every Syracuse player sucks, except for Melo. That's, everyone else sucks.
Yeah, no, seriously, it's like every single person, it disappoints. To some extent.
That's why we weren't in on Tyler Lydon, a.k.a. Tall Sean Woodley. Because, like, it just wasn't going to work, man. It just wasn't.
Yeah.
Syracuse players are all bad. I'm sorry, Leo.
Malachi was trash all year. And then, like, during the tournament, he, like...
Yeah, he went off.
Yeah, his, like, shot came around. And, like, but he's never been, like, a great shooter. And, like, he hasn't shot well so far in his NBA career. But, like, this year in the D-League, he was shooting, like, 42% from three in, like, a small sample, so yeah. I don't know. I mean, there's something there, like, again, I mean, all these guys, you can talk yourself into, like, the potential of it, right? Like,
well, he's better than Bruno.
He's rangy, he's athletic, he can play multiple positions, he knows how to play basketball, which is new.
Yeah.
He's ultimately meaningless, though, like, but I guess the one thing that I would say is, like, imagine you put Bruno in the Kings organization.
Yeah, which, by the way, I mean, the initial reports is that the Kings were going to waive him and let him go, but apparently they're going to keep him?
Like, I mean, why not, right? Why not just, it's a flyer, I guess, right?
I guess.
Like, if you're going to eat the money anyway, why don't you just see what's there?
Okay. Yeah, I guess. They're going to see very quickly that there's not that much.
Yeah, they can talk themselves into it anyway, but I guess what I'm saying is, like, in the King system, like, you're bound to fail. Like,
oh yeah,
just look at, like, the mess that they have, like Harry Giles and like a bunch of these dudes. Papa Giannis, like, what?
Yo,
like,
they just cut. They just drafted Papa Giannis with the 13th pick in 2016. That was like a big thing for them, and then they cut him like 2 years later. Like, that was the pick that when he was drafted, DeMarcus Cousins was watching the draft and tweeted out, "Lord, give me the strength." And the man's gone 2 years later. Like, 2 years, man. That's their first round pick. And I'm not even that surprised, because, like, he didn't look that good. He was at the G League showcase. He didn't look that good. Malachi Richardson, he didn't look that good either, to be honest. But, you know, like,
yeah,
this is what the Kings do, man. They just...
And that's what I'm saying. Like, if you put, like, say you take, like a player who's slightly more raw. Like, I feel like the Raptors, honestly, like, not to gas the Raptors, but, like...
Yeah, we can turn people into players.
Yeah, like, they have, like, this kind of the Spursian mentality to them, and the Spursian system, I don't know, architecture almost, the way that the organization is constructed. Like, I trust them to find value in players, right? So, mm-hmm. Like, think about Fred VanVleet on the Kings. Like, is he Like, is he that much better than...
He's not doing anything, man.
Than Frank Mason? Like, you know what I mean? Like, nothing's happening there. Like, I feel like Malachi, like, just being around the kind of guys that the Raptors have, like, being coached by Stackhouse for a couple months, like, I don't know. Like, maybe you turn him into, like, an end-of-the-bench rotation option, like, in the future. Like, it's not inconceivable.
Mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. It's a flyer. I don't mind it.
Okay. All right. Watch it. Well, honestly, if I were Alphonso McKinney, I'd watch myself. If I was Malcolm Miller, I'd watch myself. Also, Malachi Richardson, his Twitter handle is KingMolly23.
Yeah, and that's also his screen name.
Okay.
It's a red flag.
Is it?
Malachi is a strong name. I'll give him that.
That's a good name.
It's a very good name.
Malachi Richardson looks like he's living a life, man.
Did the Raptors officially announce it yet?
Yeah, it's official now. Also, like his Twitter game looks pretty strong.
Yeah, apparently he replies to people on Twitter. So if you're talking shit about him, he'll find you.
He'll listen to this podcast.
Probably if we mention him enough.
Jeez.
Shout out to Malachi.
He's a 69 in NBA 2K.
Nice.
Nice.
Well, that's how the Bruno experiment ends, with him getting traded for freaking Malachi Richardson.
Right? Which is kind of anticlimactic. I'm not going to lie to you.
It's super anticlimactic, man. But then again, it was likely just going to end with him like leaving in free agency. So
that's true. Although there are still people out there holding out hope that they'll re-sign Bruno to like a 2-year, like, $2 million extension or some shit.
I was just gonna ask you that. Do you think there's a chance they bring him back on like a minimum deal?
No.
You think Masai's done with it?
Yes.
At what point do you think Masai decided he was done? Because yo, I have a hunch that Masai was done when that Brazil shit happened.
Oh, probably. Yeah. Also, like Masai was at the G League showcase and he was looking at Bruno and he was just like sitting there unimpressed the whole time. I'm not saying that's like that's the first time you've seen Bruno. Obviously, that's like new information. Yeah. I'm just saying like he wasn't like, oh wow, this is like someone. You know what I mean? He's not like tapping Bobby Webster on the shoulder and being like, look, you see what he did right there?
It's gonna be a good one.
He's not saying it's gonna be a good one. He's not lying anymore, man. It's okay. Look, Masai, just say people. It's all good.
Listen, Masai gave us OG. He gave us Pirtle. He gave us Siakam. He gave us Norm.
Delon.
He has a pass now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
He gave us Fred, you know?
Yeah. Listen, honestly, he did more with the Fred VanVleet, like, undrafted free agent signing, than he did in all the 2014 draft when we randomly drafted Bruno and DeAndre Daniels.
Yeah, it's a shockingly bad draft for Masai.
Yeah. Especially since the second round, there was a lot of players that could have gone. You know, I'm not going to play that game, but, like...
Yeah.
You know, it's just that second round turned out to be not bad. Like, literally, out of the second round, out of all the players in that draft, like, Eddie Tavares did the most for Masai.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That draft, there's, like, Joe Harris, there's Dinwiddie.
Yeah, I mean, like, they're not, like, huge players that are going to, like, change your life or anything, but even the Colin Anderson. Yeah. Clancy Early. I mean, if we drafted him, he might not have gotten shot going to, like, some terrible strip club in Queens.
Oh,
Jokic.
Jesus, man.
Dwight Powell. I like Dwight Powell.
Dwight Powell's good.
Yeah, he was good. Well, Bruno's gone. It's upsetting, but...
It is kind of sad.
Not surprising.
Drop some GIFs. Drop some memes.
Yeah.
Don't cry that it's over. Smile that it happened.
Yeah, smile like Bruno, man. You know what, though? Bruno was usually very happy. Oh, also one of my favorite memories was Bruno riding in cars with... Bebe and Bismack Biyombo.
Oh, yeah.
Those are good times, man. Him singing Michael
Bebe,
Jackson.
Like, singing songs.
Michael
oh,
Jackson.
That was incredible. They stopped doing that shit, though.
Yeah, because it was too depressing. Yo, Bebe's so pissed, man.
Yo, man. Bebe's, like, low-key happy as shit. Do you remember, like around, like... Okay, so for the first year that Bebe was here, he was, like, cool with it.
Mm-hmm.
That everybody would just ask him about Bruno every time
they
talked to him.
And yo, Bebe was such a nice guy about it though, for a while, cause he was like, oh, that's my guy right there. Like, that was the original Yakin skills, But then at some point, like, Baby kind of clued into the fact that we all saw Bruno as just this, like, meme, and he's like, you know, he's a serious man, he deserves to be taken seriously, and then Bruno just undercut him at every turn.
And then, like, year three was when Baby was like, yo, like, I'm trying to, like, have a career here, too, like, because, you know, people just kind of saw him as, like, the Robin to Bruno's Batman, and it's like, yo, like, I actually have some useful skills, and...
Baby's like, listen, I'm way better. I'm way better than, like, Bruno. Just because I'm Brazilian doesn't mean... it's not fair to me, man.
That's why he got face tats.
Yeah.
He got face tats because he wanted to disassociate from Bruno.
That's Bruno's next step, man. Bruno's got to go to Sacramento and get some face tats.
Don't do that, Bruno, please.
Yeah.
Or do it if you want. Who am I to say?
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's gone. Harsh.
Yeah, man.
There'll be less reason to go Mississauga.
Yo, that's another
thing. He's a Mississauga icon, man. He's right up there with Sam McDaddy and the Monroe
Jason
Towers.
Jason Spezza.
And Jason Spezza, yeah, of course.
Arun Srinivasan, that's the
Yo.
Three.
Yo, put some respect on Ramesh's name, all right?
Hazel McCallion.
Yeah. Whatever school you guys went to, Hoodlands.
It's sad there's going to be less media people at the Raptors 95.
Yo, straight up, nobody's going anymore, man. Yep. Nobody's going.
Blake's going to start skipping. Nah, Blake's not skipping.
Blake's not skipping shit. Yo, by the way, last thing, all right? Last thing on Bruno, we sign off. If you have a chance, go to Bruno Caboclo's basketball reference page. You will scroll down and see the transaction logs, and I just want you to scroll through it because it literally It, like, records every single time he was assigned to and called up to the G League. There is, like, 5 pages of him just going to the G League.
Let me see this right now. Let me look at this. One sec. I need to do this live on the pod.
Okay, all right. Yeah, because you know how, like, every...
Oh, my God.
It's like... there's, like, 5 pages, man. Like, you have to really scroll.
Oh, my God. Why does it stop at December 30th? Has he been with the squad for, like, a month now?
Yeah, he's been with the squad for a month.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
Oh?
Yeah.
Have fun, Bruno.
Yeah, Bruno. Have fun in Sacramento, man. Say hi to Vivek.
Enjoy the weather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it. All right, Harsh. Thanks for doing this.
No worries, man. Take it easy.
Peace. Bye, Bruno. We'll miss you. Not really. That was part one with Harsh. In the second half, I'm going to talk to Blake and get a sort of closer and more personal account of who Bruno was and what he did for the 905.
I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Accidents happen, and when they do, you'll want a lawyer who will stand up to the insurance company and fight for your rights. In case of emergency, have this name in your back pocket, Goldfinger, Brian Goldfinger. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Just a closer, more personal reflection of Bruno's time is the reporter that knows him best, like not just like, you know, has seen him for one or two games like me and others, you know, not just someone that's talked to other people in the organizations giving secondhand accounts. It's Blake. You have seen almost all of Bruno's D League career. Is that correct?
I would guess that I've seen, yeah, like 85% of the minutes he's played.
Yeah, that's honestly, say for like Bruno himself and like Stackhouse and Jesse Mermis, like that's it. Actually, I guess because Jesse only was there for 1 year and Stack was only there for like 3 years. No, 2 years?
Stack was there for 3 years, or he was only 905 for 2 years, that's but right. He was on the Raptors bench before that.
Yeah, so I think you have seen the most Bruno tape.
Yeah, maybe. Stack's a film hound, so maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Stack's right there. Tolesman.
Okay, yeah, Dan. Yeah, Dan's there.
A couple of the Raptors staff that got to go through is, you know, like, I won't name names, but there are a couple guys who got to watch, like, every minute of video.
Mm-hmm.
So. Okay. I'm up there, though.
You're definitely up there.
I'm top five.
It's especially publicly. Publicly, like, you're probably, like outside the organization, you're probably, like, top one. You're top two, yeah. And you're not two.
I can't imagine anyone has watched more Bruno minutes than me outside of the organization.
And you've probably spoken to him a couple times. you know, over the last couple of years.
Yeah, honestly, it's been one of my favorite, like, of all the things to develop with Bruno. His, like, personality has been really fun to, because he barely spoke English his first year, and then his first year with the 905, it was bad enough that, like, or not, I shouldn't say bad, but he was uncomfortable enough speaking it that I tried to learn, like, little Portuguese phrases so I could, like, talk to him a little bit conversationally.
Oh, man.
And, like, break the ice or whatever. But, like, this year he's, like, full on, like cracking jokes and, like, saying funny stuff and, like, I don't know. He was full on, like a regular guy by this year, which I guess 4 years is a long time to pick up a language, but it's still been funny to kind of see.
Yeah, for sure. I was just going to ask you, like, you know, outside of Bruno the player or whatever, I mean, like, whatever. He might develop into a 3-and-D guy still. He still has physical tools. He still has a lot of moments where he looks good. But, I mean, what's he like as a guy? You know what I mean? Like, what's he like to be around? Like, do his teammates like him? And, you know what I mean? Because, like, we only see, like, the times where it's not good. You know what I mean? Like, him getting sent home and stuff. But... like, what's he like around the team?
Yeah, I think the guys like him, man. You see, when he's with the 905, you know, he's always showing up in Instagram stories or Snapchats or whatever. You know, when he was with the Raptors, him and Bebe aren't as close now as they were at the start. And
that's
heartbreaking. Yeah, I don't know how much of it is, like I don't think they had a falling out or anything like that. But I think, you know, Bebe was kind of... I don't know, man. It would be tough to be basically to think you're on the roster for a year or two as someone's babysitter.
Yeah.
When you're like much further along as an NBA player. But I don't know. I just know that they're not as close anymore. Like, Bebe still goes to 905 games. And one of Bruno's best games came just the other week. He had 7 threes and he had 3 in a row in the fourth. And you know, Bebe was there cheering him on. Like, Bebe's number one in attendance at 905.
Yeah, that's really cute.
So, like, and I know we got on with OG pretty well, and I know he's, like, he'll joke around with guys like Siobhan Thompson and Kennedy Meeks and stuff. So, you know, I don't know him at a personal level, and I think early in his career he was a 19- and 20-year-old guy who had just gone from nothing to having millions of dollars. So I think anyone will respond a certain way in those situations. But I think, you know, I think he showed some growth as a person. You know, probably not still in the mental toughness area that people would like to see. Like, you know, there are still games where his shot's not falling, so he's wearing it or pouting a little bit. You know, it took a teammate to call him out during the finals last year to kind of turn his play around after he had a bad game. Things like that where, you know, even Jerry Stackhouse, I think, who did a good job with him and really helped him improve on the defensive end. I think even at the end of this, Stackhouse was still learning kind of when to hug him and when to shove him. As he put it at one point. So, you know, it's tough. This development experiment would have been difficult with any player that raw. And then when you factor in, you know, the fact that this guy has done all of his growing up on an NBA roster and didn't know the language at first, you know, that's maybe where the questions about how you make a situation like this work in the future if you take the experiment again. Mm-hmm. I think the questions fall far more on that side than on the actual basketball side.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
You tuned that out for a little bit, didn't you?
No, it's just like, you just hear that about Bruno. You know, it's just weird because the story hasn't changed with Bruno. You know what I mean? Like, so it's like, it's hard to, I don't know, it's just hard to have the same conversation. Are you disappointed by Bruno at all? Like,
No.
You know, there's some people that are mad about it, which I spoke with Harsh earlier, like, I don't really agree with that. Obviously, you would rather have, you know, Hood or Kyle Anderson or Jokic or whatever.
Yeah, but like, you really want to go back to every draft ever and do that?
Exactly, right? Yeah, this isn't like Iguodala. This, you know what I mean? Like, I'm more pissed if it's like higher in the draft, because like generally speaking, there's like every draft has like a set tier, right? And like by the time you get to the 20s, like there's no tier in the 20s. Yeah. It's just
like
who you like.
Rafael Arujo was a wild pick.
Yeah, didn't we pick him over like Andre Iguodala?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Like, you can't tell me, though, that, like, sitting there at number 20, you can't lament the Raptors picking Bruno and be like, well, Nikola Jokic went 41st. It's like, man, that's a whole round later.
Seriously, man.
And look, honestly, my biggest issue with that draft is still DeAndre Daniels, not Bruno. Because the Bruno experiment made sense to me. You know, there are a ton of questions about, like, should he have been on the roster right away? Should he have done a draft and stash season? Should he have waited until you had a G League team? All these ones. Mm-hmm. But, like, at least with Bruno, it's like, okay, well, he's got a 7'7" wingspan. He can shoot threes a little bit. Like, it's very clear it's very clear why they thought they could turn him into an NBA player. Mm. DeAndre Daniels is like, yeah, I don't know. He had a good game in the Sweet 16.
Yeah, straight up.
Like, and look, man, I take Bruno over DeAndre Daniels right now.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah, so, for sure. You know, you want to be mad about a pick in that draft.
Mm. And then the last thing I will just ask you is, what's your favorite Bruno memory?
Oh, man.
There's probably so many to choose from since you experienced so much of your life with Bruno.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Him and OG at the Sky Dome still really kills me. And the milk mustache.
Yeah, we got to track that down, man. We got to track that down. Yeah. It's like we had to track down the What About DeRozan video. I mean, that was way easier because it was a dynamic product. And Twitter
exists.
Yeah, we got
to figure out what went into the milk mustache photo.
Yeah.
I think, honestly, man, my favorite Bruno moment is still the game against Milwaukee in his first year.
Yeah.
Like, he had, like, the G League Finals was really interesting for me to cover, and I don't know if I'll ever experience something like that, like covering a minor league championship mm-hmm. with NBA players on there. Like, the G League is such a unique thing, and that was such a weird championship.
Right.
So that was really cool, and, you know, the organization's kind of feelings of validation during that stretch because Bruno was so good during the playoffs.
Right.
That was kind of cool, but it's still the Milwaukee game, man. It was because that Milwaukee game was everything. Like, Bruno was still such an unknown. Everyone was still so unclear on what this experiment was and what it could look like. And in those, like, 8 minutes or 12 minutes, you know, he kind of got to flash everything. It was almost like a flash forward sequence where, like, you skip ahead in the show. It's like, okay, this is what it's building to. Like, we're going to tease you with it now and just know that later in the story we're going to get here.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't, so it looks a lot weirder now. But, man, had Bruno turned out to go back and look at that game and then be like, okay, well, then he wandered the wilderness for 4 years and eventually got there. I don't know, man. That game's going to be one of the most well-remembered Raptor games forever.
Yeah, seriously. It's just like a sheer euphoria. Like, the thing that surprised me was that, like, Bruno has 27 career NBA points. And that eight
all
points.
All over in that game.
those 8 points is not even his career high.
No, he dropped 10 at one point, right?
He dropped 11 against Eddie Tavares.
Oh, right. In that Cleveland game at the end of last year.
Yeah. Yeah, Bruno was just drilling daggers over Richard Jefferson, his thumb looking ass.
In a 25-point game. Man.
That's right.
Man, it's funny because I should have known something was coming
mm-hmm.
because Bruno wasn't, like I mentioned, he's always in everyone's like IG stories and stuff like that when the 905 were on the road, and he wasn't the last couple days and they were in New York and he wasn't around here. And then, you know, the fact that I knew, I kind of got the feeling he wasn't in New York, and then the Raptors never recalled him for a game where they didn't have a 13th guy and it was very clear they were going to have blowout minutes.
Right.
I should have put the pieces together.
Yeah. Well, now he's gone. Now he's gone.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, I'm glad that Sacramento opted not to waive him like it sounded like they were going to do, because I kind of hope we get another Bruno Milwaukee game.
Yeah. Maybe Sacramento, like, I don't know how Sacramento fans are dealing with this, but I hope there are some Sacramento fans that are out there that believe, because it's actually way more fun to believe in Bruno than it is to, you know, accept the fact that he's not good.
Honestly, that was probably my biggest issue with the entire experiment, is that everyone was so quick to, like it's like these people who like, buy a lottery ticket, and they're like, I bet you I'm not going to win on this lottery ticket. It's like, well, yeah, that's, you know, it's a lottery ticket. You have pretty long odds. And the people who have, you know, this year I got a little more because it's year four and you're still not seeing returns, but the people who in year two, year three were, like wanting off the Bruno ride, you know, those people will probably feel like they're right because at this point Bruno hasn't turned into an NBA player. But, man, it was such an interesting player development gamble. And, like, look at the history of the Raptors or the history of any good NBA team. Nobody uses their 14th, 15th man.
Literally nobody. Even for a team as deep as the Raptors.
Greg Steensma is the guy that you're looking to be in this Bruno spot, man.
Mm. Which, by the way, Greg Steensma was a big part of that Bruno game. Bruno ran a two-man game at one point.
Jesus.
Bruno and Greg Steensma ran a two-man game.
Yeah. I don't know, man. I don't know where Bruno goes from here. I think, you know, if Sacramento was going to waive him, I thought the best move for him was to re-enter the G League player pool and try to play out the year. He's probably going to have to play his way into onto a team through training camp next year if he doesn't go overseas.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, man. It'll be interesting.
Maybe
Anthony
we'll
Bennett's still getting shots.
That's true. That is true. But you know what's crazy? I think what I really want to know now is if he does go back into that, like, if he still wants to stick around in America and, like, instead of going to Europe or wherever else, China, like, I kind of want to see which team takes a flyer on him because I want to find out who are the mysterious teams that were, like, bidding up Bruno that the Raptors needed to take him in the first round because that wasn't necessarily their first pick.
Like, what... I'm confident Phoenix and Dallas were two of them.
Phoenix and Dallas? I thought the Spurs was one of them, too.
I think I know that people kicked around the Spurs, but I don't know if that was ever like reported or everyone right. was just like, "Well, the Spurs would know about a guy like this because of right, how of well course. They've scouted internationally in the past."
Yeah, and then Phoenix knew about him because Leandro Barbosa was down there.
Yeah, and Phoenix was also playing hardball, like trying to get the Raptors to give up two picks to number 18 to get Tyler Ennis, and they kind of like. They had another pick between 20 and 37, I think, and they were, you know, I think there was some concern that they would take Bruno.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, Dallas, I'm pretty sure, was one of the teams. Dallas had planned, Dallas would have drafted Stashton, though.
That sounds like Dallas. Well, now he's gone. And all there's left is more than an hour-long podcast about Bruno.
And Malachi Richardson.
Yeah. What do you think of Malachi Richardson? Do you think he's going to be good?
I think it'd be a nice bench piece for the 905 in the playoffs.
Mm. We gotta make sure that the cupboard is still stocked.
Look,
we lost a lot of talent.
To be honest, I have to watch. I'll have to dive into more Malachi Richardson video. I think I've only seen three of his G League games handfuls of Sacramento time. But I didn't really love him coming into the draft.
He's a Syracuse player, so you know.
Yeah, I also, if I remember right, the Raptors weren't super high on him either. Like, he was in for a draft workout and seemed like a nice guy.
Mm.
But I don't think they were super high on him.
Well.
Yeah.
There he is. All right, Blake, go to sleep. Go to sleep, buddy. Get some well-deserved rest.
Will, how was your trip, man?
The trip was great. You know, the weather was way better. This is very shocking to suddenly revert 40 degrees Celsius. Change. That's a lot.
Yeah. I still can't believe we didn't get your live tweets of the Celtics game, man. That's
honestly, that's really the biggest thing that was the biggest downer of the whole trip. Because like you know, Cuba's internet is pretty heavily restricted. So like, even if I wanted to, I probably couldn't catch it. And you know, surprisingly, they weren't showing a Raptors Celtics on local television.
Yeah.
But I did see a lot of some World Baseball Classic. I saw a lot of Puerto Rico play somebody. I couldn't sleep. It was like 1 a.m. in the villa. I was like, all right. I guess I'll watch those. But, yeah. No, it was a good time. If people out there, man, please go to Cuba.
Yeah, we should do a proper catch-up soon.
Yeah, for sure, Blake. All right. Oh, yeah, and thanks to you and Alex for picking up 10 things. That was pretty
cool. We only did it for two of the games. We kind of just thought it'd be funny the one game, and then we wanted a farewell tour.
Honestly, you guys deserved it, man. You guys deserved it. There should be more Stephen LeBron, Blake Murphy ODC collaborations.
I had a good idea during the G League showcase that I wanted to do like a dual column just like that where Alex would talk wild shit and I would try to seriously break down the G League showcase.
Yeah, there you go. Honestly, that's really the dynamic that made the Bill Simmons, Zach Lowe thing compelling. Because they're both basketball fans, but they approach it very differently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man.
There you go. All right, Blake, peace out. Come on, get some sleep.
Yeah, thanks for having me on, buddy.
All right, always.
Want to hear something amazing? Discover matches all the cash back you earn on your credit card at the end of your first year, automatically, dollar for dollar, with no limit on how much you can earn. Extra cash? Come on, how amazing is that? In fact, it's even more amazing when you realize all the places where Discover is accepted. 99% of places in the U.S. that take credit cards. So when it comes to Discover, get used to hearing yes more often. Learn more at discover.com/yes. 2020 Nielsen Report. Limitations apply.